Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Are you aware of your rights as a consumer? Now, a survey conducted by the Ministry of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs in 2018 found that less than 40% of Malaysians are aware of our consumer rights under the Consumer Protection Act. Now, on this front, the Consumer Association of Penang has long been working to promote and protect consumer interests in Malaysia for more than five decades now. So I'm delighted to welcome to the show Muhyiddin Abdul Kadir. He's the president of the Consumer Association of Penang, better known as CAP. Muhyiddin, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
No, I just thought we could begin our conversation.
Thank you.
On the note of public awareness, it seems that many of us are not quite up to speed when it comes to our rights as consumers or even the avenues available to us to seek redress for grievances. What have been some of your observations on consumer education and awareness? What do you think is what is that most people don't know?
Consumer Association of Penang has 50 years of experience in trying to educate the public on their rights and how to enforce, how to claim their rights. We are conducting education courses for the public in schools, adults, women, housewives, so that they will be aware of the laws and the channels that are available to get remedies when their rights are violated. That's what we have been doing for the last 50 years. And we have also been involved in calling on the government to incorporate into the educational system a syllabus on consumer protection. We have been doing this at university level to trying to introduce consumer education into the university syllabus. And I think University of Malaya long ago did accept our proposal and included consumer education in university education.
Right. So what is it that most consumers... Oh, sorry.
At school level, we have also been involved in forming consumer clubs in schools and trying to educate the students on their rights, okay, as well as not only on their rights, also on their responsibilities. For example, not to waste, not to overconsume. So rights alone are not enough. Also on the part of the consumer, they also need to be responsible consumers.
Right. So start them young and get them educated as to what their rights and responsibilities are. Can I ask you very quickly, in part of this this work of advocacy, what is it that you found that consumers tend not to know? Which part of the education or the awareness is the most glaringly missing?
What most people don't realize is that there are laws in the countries to protect consumers, one. And secondly, if their rights are violated, where do they go? But that's why Consumer Association of Penang, and maybe other consumer association too, have been in the place where people bring their complaints. And when they bring their complaints, we take it up with the business. If they are cheated, for example, if there is underweight, you know, short selling, for example, if it's overpriced, we first negotiate with the suppliers, the business company, business group, and try to sort the problem at that level. And also, if there are a lot of such complaints, we take it up with the Ministry of Domestic Trade and report to them. And so, as a result of the continuous interaction between CAP and the ministry has been progressively improving the laws that protect consumers. So that it has been beneficial to both parties, to the CAP, consumers, and the government, so that the government will not be seen in the bad light by people if their problems are not addressed.
Okay. So you mentioned going straight to businesses and then raising it to the federal level, to the ministry level. Can I ask you about other ways of redress? Because I know that there's the Consumer Claims Tribunal. How effective has that been as an avenue for redress?
In fact, the Consumer Protection Act was part of, we can say that CAP was one of the groups responsible for the enactment of the Consumer Protection Act. We have been writing to the government, and actually, I was in the Consumer Advisory Council myself, and one of the professors from University of Malaya was also then the chairman of the Consumer Protection Council, prepared a draft Consumer Protection Act and provided to the government. Unfortunately, it took like about 10 years for the law to be enacted. And in it, it provides a consumer tribunal for resolution of disputes between sellers and buyers. This is a cheap, inexpensive. Lawyers are not allowed to appear and confuse the issues. and it's quite fast. It has been functioning quite effectively, I think. Of course, there's a lot of place for improvement. But the limit now, originally it was 10,000. If your claim is for 10,000, you can go to the tribunal. If it is more than that, you have to go to the courts, which is a lengthy and expensive process. Now the amount is increased to 25, and I think we have been recommending that it should be increased to 50,000, because many things cost more than 25,000.
Right, it goes up in price. So when we look at the regulatory framework as a whole, how robust is it? How adequate are the protections, not just the Consumer Claims Tribunal, but other areas of enforcement, enforcement mechanisms? Do they provide adequate protections and redress for holding businesses accountable for violations of consumer rights?
On the whole, we have fairly good laws. You know, the Consumer Protection Act originally left out unfair trade and all that, but now it has been amended to include those things. So the laws are good. We have the Competition Act. For example, if companies conspire to manipulate the price and supply of goods in the market, there is the Competition Commission to deal with that problem. And similarly, we have Anti-Profiteering Act, so that businessmen don't take the opportunity of festivals to arbitrarily raise the prices. Right. So we have, and the Trade Description Act, which requires people to display prices, you know, so that the consumer will know what he's bargaining for. So these laws are in place. On the whole, they are good. But maybe they need some improvement, but the weakness is in enforcement. Unfortunately, it's not being enforced sufficiently. We have been making statements, press statements about prices going up of vegetables and eggs and chicken and all that, but no effective action was taken until recently. I think the present minister is very concerned about prices and all that. He has been going to the ground, meeting the consumer, meeting the sellers, meeting the wholesalers, and trying to sort out the problem. So they need to improve enforcement. And part of it may be due to lack of resources and capacity in the agency itself. You need sufficient workers. You need people to be trained properly to detect all these things and to prosecute them in court if necessary, or to take other actions to end, even beginning with advice, advising them. And if they are still not following the advice, then they have to be taken to court and punished. Right. I think that is the key issue is enforcement.
Okay. Can I ask you, you know, it, as part of your work as a consumer rights advocate, have you experienced resistance from businesses? I mean, business corporations, they, you know, see consumer rights, may see consumer rights as a threat to their bottom line. Are you seeing resistance when you raise issues of product safety, of quality, of pricing?
The thing is, they haven't directly interfered with your, with our work. Or I myself have personally haven't encountered any threats or anything to when we voice up the dissatisfaction. And they have a strong lobby. This is the problem, see? Unlike the consumers, the business community has a strong lobby, and politicians are very close to the business lobby because they get donations for the elections. But CAP can't give donations to the political parties, you see. But businessmen can. They have a lot of millions of dollars to make. For example, we have been campaigning against vape and other things. And the former minister introduced a very very useful piece of legislation, which I hope will be adopted by the present parliament. But unfortunately, there is a strong opposition from the business community. Although we have argued, and there is enough evidence to show that vaping and other smoking cigarettes are very harmful to the people, particularly the younger generation. But then they're not taking, they're only interested in their profit to their companies, but they're concerned about the health of the nation, especially our future generation. What sort of people are we going to have in the future as our leaders? As the people who are workers and factories and other things. Mm. So we don't receive personal threats, but I think their business lobby is very strong in this country, like anywhere else. Like the United States, for example, they write the laws. You know, the free trade agreement, it's the business community that writes the laws. The state just endorses it and tries to push it to everybody.
Right. Okay, Mohdi, we're going to take a very quick break here on the show, but let's come back and continue this conversation in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned to Consider This. Hi, thanks so much for staying with me on Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. I'm speaking tonight to Mohidin Abdul Kadir. He's the president of the Consumer Association of Penang. We're discussing the awareness and education of our rights as consumers and our options for redress to air any grievances we might have against goods and services that we've purchased. On that note, Muhyiddin, I just want to check with you. Consumer rights, as I understand it, is not limited to just commercial transactions, right? Does it also include, does it also extend to government services? Does the Consumer Protection Act apply to all transactions, including private individuals and governments?
The Consumer Protection Act will apply to all transactions of goods and services. But when you talk about issues of products and services, but you talk about environment and things like that, they have a different legislation to protect the environment. And in fact, our constitution itself, Article 5, is there's a guarantee to life. You know, you can't take people's life without going through the process of law. But that has been interpreted to include providing livelihood for the people. In other words, it's no use saying that confining it only to unlawful killing or taking the life unlawfully, but also you must guarantee people are able to live. In other words, to live, you need food. There must be food security. So it is if the constitution is interpreted liberally, like some judges have said, and in other jurisdictions, they also extended the interpretation of the act to include protection of livelihood. In other words, a person must be able to earn, to buy food, to live. Otherwise, it is a meaningless right. So there are protections if you are in our laws, provided they are put into effect. People are conscious of those rights, and the government agencies seriously enforce any violation of those rights to remedy for the people.
I'm just wondering whether consumer rights also extends to government services. For instance, if education, healthcare, public services, transportation, do we as consumers have the right to expect a certain level of quality of product safety, of service, a satisfactory service for public services provided by the government?
See, the consumers have a right to sufficient, right to livelihood. Consumers have right to a clean environment. Consumers have right to good health care. Consumers have a right to adequate housing. Consumers have a right to education. These are all basic rights. And it is the responsibility of the government to ensure that the laws and institutions are in place so that to ensure that people enjoy these rights.
Right. What would you say is the most pressing consumer rights in Malaysia right now?
Most pressing issue is the cost of living at the moment. Of course, there are other issues like housing and all that, but I think it currently, due to the COVID situation and then the war in Ukraine, and the disruption of the food supply chain, as well as our ringgit going down in value. I hope the present government is able to bring it up. And these are factors which are beyond the control of individuals. They seriously affect the cost of living of people. The prices are going up. For example, I can give you some example. Mm-hmm. Partly is also people are taking advantage of the thing that prices in January cost $6 a kilo, but in February it came out to 16 ringgit. This is our survey, you know, done by our CAP survey. For example, tomato was 450 in January, came out to 10 ringgit. So similarly, all have been increasing by 100-150%. So this is going to create a serious problem for the people. That is why CAP has been calling on the government to focus on food security. But
right.
Happy to note that the government's now in the last few months talking seriously about food security. Otherwise, they were only talking about foreign capital and all that investment.
Moeen, can I ask you, when you look at these price hikes, these astronomical jumps in prices of everyday goods, how do you determine what is proportionate increase in price given, you know, all the external factors, and what you think is profiteering?
I think it's quite easy to, things don't go up 100% just because of the rain in Terengganu or Kelantan, you know. So these are, for example, Competition Commission in 2019 did a study and said that the price is due to profiteering, price hike is due to profiteering. You know, the producer, the fisherman catches the fish, and by the time it reaches the consumer, the price has gone up 100%. See, somebody in between, the one who catches the fish and the one who consumes the fish, a lot of money, a lot of cost goes to these people in the middle group. And that is why we have been calling on the government, and I think recently the minister has been responding and trying to reduce the middleman intervention in food in the production and supply.
Right. Okay. All right. In the couple of minutes that we have left, what is it that you would want Malaysian consumers to know watching tonight? How can Malaysian consumers better protect their rights, make informed choices and responsible choices when purchasing products and services?
Yeah, I think you use the right word. They must make responsible choices. First of all, they must avoid wasteful consumption. You know, once you get the money out of EPF, you straight away run and spend it instead of using it for some useful purpose. So waste is a big problem in the country. People are over-consuming. A lot of waste lands up in our landfill, which creates environmental problems. So number one, look at your lifestyle and eliminate any spending that is unnecessary. Not only for now, even for the future, because waste is also responsible in indirect ways to the climate crisis we are facing. So you will be contributing to improving the situation by cutting down on consumption. That is number one. Number two is, as you said, they must be responsible and they must be aware. If the prices are going up, don't just keep quiet, take it up. Take it up with the authorities, bring it to the attention of Consumer Association of Penang and the other bodies so that some action will be taken to remedy the situation. Don't just keep quiet and accept it.
Okay. All right. Moeen, thank you so much for speaking with me today. That was my conversation with Moeen Abdul Kadir, President of the Consumer Association of Penang. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.